last month when we were here, Tom and I spent the weekend putting the worlds to right. And it's amazing, actually, that the whole thing has just unfurled in a month. So to spend most of this weekend putting it right again. But we've had a really lovely time. And, you know, we went back from here and had a lovely dinner, along with the extended family as well. We met for the first time this weekend as well. And I was disappointed in Tom, actually, because I said, you know, it's a wonderful day, Tom. Why don't we go for a swim? And he wouldn't go. And I thought, well, if he's not going to go, I'm not going to go either. So we just stayed at home and debated even more. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful day again today. Isn't that sun marvellous? It just lifts us up, and I think, wow, God is so good. And, you know, just as we're seeing the video there, we saw it this morning, and we were reminded again this evening. And, you know, I thought, this evening when it came on at first, like John, I was thinking of having to hire a plane to go from here to here. Of course, that wasn't the case. And I was getting all the more and more confused as I watched that, really. I don't know whether you were or not. It's probably just me. But I was thinking, Simon Manchester from Australia coming to here. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Keswick, in Keswick. It is amazing. You know, to sit in a tent with 3,000 people in the main tent, plus the other side tents that are filled with other people, and just to praise God is absolutely incredible. I urge you, if you haven't been, go. Spend a lovely day in Keswick. And it's beautiful. It's like here, and it's not raining. but it's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm excited about this one in Ayr, because Joan and I have been attending one up in Bucky for about, 15, 16 years maybe. And that's quite a trek away for us. It's a whole week, right enough, which is great. But to go along the road to Ayr for that weekend is going to be something I'm going to be looking forward to. So I urge you to go to that as well. And we'll hear from Simon Manchester from Australia and see what he's going to say from God's Word. But if you have your Bibles with you this evening, I'd like if you would turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Excuse me. It's a very known, or a very well-known portion of Scripture. But I feel it's something that we need to be reminded of constantly. That we need, indeed, the armour of God. Not just on a Sunday, but every day. Because we're in the battle every day. So Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10, and this is the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always. Keep on praying for all the saints. And may the Lord bless this. We pray the reading and the understanding of his holy word. You know, our God has covered in every which way. We live in a society today does not want to acknowledge God as God. And we are, or we should be very, very well equipped to deal with this. But I'm certainly finding as I go around that more and more people who are proclaiming to be followers of Christ are coming under the authority of the enemy. Now, the only way that can happen, folks, if we are laxed. And, you know, if we look, and I love the way the Lord Jesus himself will take things that actually pertain to his time. And, of course, he would have the Roman soldiers. And he would see how they were dressed for battle. And he would use that to show us how we should be dressed. And if you look, all the armour is all at the front. So they were well protected at the front. But the way the Romans actually worked, they were very close together in battle. The short swords and the shields and stuff. But they would then be in control of the person in front, so they would watch his back. Now, if we don't do that, it leaves the person in front of us very, very vulnerable. And unfortunately, I see this time and time and time again, where Christians who should be looking after each other's back are the ones who stab us in the back and then turn the blade to be more effective. Now, I don't know whether you've experienced that. I have, personally. And it hurts. It hurts all the more when it's done through a brother or a sister in Christ. Now, it might not always be intentional, but it happens. So we need to be able to find ourselves in that position that not only do we have the gospel armour on, not only are we watching out for the person in front, we're hoping and praying that the person behind us is looking after us. And we need to be more and more like this, protecting each other and to stand firm. You know, we are getting buffeted from every side at this moment in time. Have you felt it? Have you felt that the rise of anti-Christianity in this country? If you haven't, you will. Believe me. And we need to be prepared. And the Lord has actually shown us here in his word how we should be prepared. And every piece of the armour we put on with prayer. And then what do? We stand. We stand firm. And I love that whole concept. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery." Can you remember where you came from before you came to know Christ as your Lord and Saviour? I do. I was a slave to sin and didn't know. Honestly, I was quite enjoying this party life and all the rest of it. I thought, this is great. But it wasn't until I met Jesus think, wow, hold on here a minute. There's more to this life than self-indulgence. There's more to this life than seeking after the things here on earth. And then it's incredible when he comes into your heart and changes you completely to be the person that he wants you to be. And then he says, "I now have the gospel armour for you to put on and to stand firm, to withstand all the things that will come upon us." I love this old book, I really do. I love every single page, every word in this wonderful book. And when I think about the very fact of standing firm, I look then to the promises that God has given us. And you know, we could spend all evening gladly going going through these wonderful promises, but we're only going to look at some of them. Because John and I got to go home tonight, and we don't have a big piece. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that a wonderful promise? When you're walking down the high street on a Saturday night, I don't know if there's any nightclubs or whatever here, I'm sure there are pubs that will be full, but they're all pouring out and you're making your way home, and people recognise you as being a follower of Jesus, and you think, "Oh boy, here we go." What do? Do you stand or do you run? I remember a wonderful example of a guy in Wishaw, a pastor, and he would go with a team of men from his church to Wishaw Main Street on a Saturday night, and he would speak to the revelers as they came out of the pubs and stuff. And his sidekick, we used to call him Titch, he was about 6'7" and built like a gable end, you know. The pastor would be about my height and my weight, and he went over, and there's a group of guys all standing together, and he tapped one on the shoulder, and the guy turned around and says, "What are you wanting?" Or what's that effect? And the pastor, as quick as a flash, he said, "He wants to tell you about Jesus." Brilliant. You know, big John, big Titch. But you know, it's wonderful just to stand on these promises, folks. You know, have you ever been given that opportunity when God has said to you, "Speak to that person," and you stand there and you think, "But Lord, what do you say? What do you say?" Or you bottle it and walk away. And then later on that night, you know, you might be in your time of prayer before bed, and you say, "Lord, forgive me. You know, I had an opportunity there to share the goodness of Christ in a bottle." You think the Lord's going to say, "That is absolutely terrible"? Of course he is. He's going to say, "I know. I know how you feel. I see the next time. Try it. Speak to the person." You know, it's amazing. You can bring the Lord in a whole load of different ways. Honestly. I remember a lovely pastor in Kirkluk, and, you know, he was out talking with his pal, and his pal said to him, "You know, brother, he said, you could be talking about, or we could be talking about absolutely anything." He says, "When you bring the gospel in." He says, "That's right." Yeah. He says, "But it always happens." He says, "Oh." He says, "Do you fancy the first supper?" He says, "Hey, come on, go to the first supper." I stand and wait for the first supper. Robert says to his pal, he says, "You know, the Lord says that we should be fishers of men." He says, "There you go again." It's subtle. But you know, the thing is that we need holy boldness, friends. I can't emphasize this enough. Do you think every time I stand before you here, that inside I'm not shaking? It's like the swan. You know, everything looks cool, calm, and collected. But if you look under the surface of the water, the feet are going up. People will say, "George, we never ever acknowledged that. We always thought you're so confident and stuff." No, I'm going with a battery inside. And you know something? The day that stops is the day I will stop preaching. Because the day it stops, then I'll be doing it under my own strength. And that's not the most of that. Do I bottle it at times? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And yet I think, why? What's the worst that people can do? What would be your worst nightmare? Would it be somebody calling you names? Would it be somebody throwing a brick at you? Would it be somebody taking your life? Just get hold of sinner, folks. There's really nothing to fear, and that's what the Word of God is saying. There's a promise here. The Lord has said here in Deuteronomy, "I will never leave you nor forsake." God says never, he means never. He's never going to let us go. John 10:27-28, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. We have been bought, redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are no longer ours, we are his. And no matter what the enemy throws at us, he cannot have us. Because we are his and we are safe in his hands. He's never going to let us go. John 14:1-2. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, or indeed mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place. I long for the day that I can see my room or my mansion or my wee wooden hut in heaven. That would do me. Honestly, I'd be delighted with that. Do you know for certain if death came tonight that you would take your last breath here on earth and your first one? To be shown to your mansion. How many of you have really thought about that? I was speaking to someone this morning and I said, you know, I'm really only 21. She just looked at me, dear sister. She was gracious. She never said anything. I said, but you know what, I've had it hard, like a really hard paper round. But you know something, folks, no matter what age we are, death can come in an instant. And so can the return of Christ. Ever so quickly. We need to be ready. I spoke about that this morning. I'm not going to get into any grand detail about that. But we need to trust. We need to trust in the Lord that he will have a place for us. Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always. To the very end of the age. I am with you always. I was speaking at our church the Lord's Church in Law, and I was saying in the very fact as well, you know, that God, in his goodness, his grace, and his love, and his mercy, looks down upon us in love. And he does so because he loves us so much. You know, every single bit of us, he just loves to bits. And yet, you know, even though he sees the type of people that we can be, and yet he still loves us. It's one of the first questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I meet him. Lord, why? Why did you ever love me the way you did? Because I know me. You know you. And you know the things that we think, the things that we do, and yet we have a God who loves us, who will never let us go. Never. What love is this? John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except. Jesus, as we said this morning, has been sent by our Lord as a babe to grow up to be the man who would be the ultimate sacrifice for us. Now, I'm sure most of us are here with our spouses at this time, or indeed people we know and love. Now, John and I have known each other since we were 5. We met together at primary school. I'm sure I've shared this with you. And we used to hold hands and I used to give her sweets. Right. Now, I dumped her because she started just help herself to the sweets. No. So we parted company. We met again at secondary school and I went to move in and a bigger boy was there and moved in before me. I was there's a lovely dear man of God once said to me, he says, George, he says, you know, he said, I'm celebrating 50 years of marriage next week. I says, is that right, John? He says, yeah. I says, and do you remember it? He says, oh, I said, I remember it just like yesterday. I says, is that right, John? He says, yeah. You know how rotten a day yesterday was? But you know, although John and I know each other so, so well, I would love to think, if the push came to shove, that I would lay down my life for it. I do, honestly. But I don't honestly know until that situation ever arose. I don't know. But here we have Jesus, who died not only for us here, but for everyone who's ever lived and who ever will live. And he took upon him all the sin of our lives, past, present, and future. Now that's a lot of sin. Is it any wonder the Father couldn't gaze on him on the cross? He was literally sin laden. That's love, folks. That is love way beyond the call of any duty. And yet we have a Savior in Jesus who willingly gave his life for us. And then, of course, we have John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whosoever, and that whosoever involves us, we can take that out and put your own name in. And I think that's wonderful. Wonderful. If we believe in him, shall not perish but have eternal life with him in heaven. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We see a world today that is hurtling 100,000 miles an hour to hell. Honestly. People who we know and love, who have not given their hearts to Jesus, are bound for hell. I remember reading not that long ago, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, who every time he went into the pulpit, he would stand and weep as he looked out over the people. That was his congregation. And he stood and wept. Because he knew the people. And he knew that even though he would have all these eloquent words and explanations to the things of God, people were just, same as today, really not bothering too much. But we have wonderful promises from our Lord and our God. But I wonder, what are our promises to him? Can you remember that first time when you really came under the authority of the Holy Spirit and you recognized Jesus Christ for who he is and you think, wow, here's this Jesus and he loves me, even me. He does, he loves me. You think, Lord, because of this love that you have shown me, Lord, I'm going to do whatever I can for you. Have you made that promise? I know I have. Yeah, I have. Lord, anything. Anything. You know, even before I came to that point of recognizing Jesus Christ for being the Savior of my soul, even when I was deep in sin, when things happened, the first thing I did was cry out to God. Oh Lord, if you hear my prayer, if you only answer this, oh Lord, I'll go to church twice on Sunday. I'll put in £1.50 this week instead of the usual pound. I've heard people say that. I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord says, what are you sorry for, George? Are you sorry for what you've done? Are you sorry for me? Get caught doing is our promises to God. Help me, Lord. And I'll pray every day. And that happens for a wee while, and then you get bored of that habit. And things take over. You see, we can kid ourselves, but we can't kid God. God sees all. Everything. Even our very thoughts. He knows what's going on in here. He knows. And yet he still loves us. You know, he knows the type of people that we are. And I came across this. I'd like to share this with you. It's a memorandum. What's that, Charles? It's a memo. Right? And this is to Jesus, son of Joseph, Woodcraft Carpenter Shop, Nazareth. And it's from the Jordan Management Consultants in Jerusalem. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests. We have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background education and vocational aptitude. For this type of enterprise you are undertaking. You do not have the team's concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience and managerial ability and proven capability. You see, Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualifications of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Darius, definitely have radical leanings. They are both registered at a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, he has a keen business mind and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All of the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Yours sincerely, Jordan Management Consultants. You know, when you look to the people that Jesus chose to be the men who would come to spread this wonderful good news, there was none of them eligible. None. And neither we. And yet God has chosen us to be his mouthpiece. You guys here, especially in this area of Stranraer, it's quite an undertaking. But God has chosen you to use you. I go back to Galatians 5:1 again. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We're not bound to sin anymore. We're linked to Jesus. And we have the victory in him. Now, have you ever imagined or thought what it would be like if Jesus had not stood firm? It's unthinkable, really. You know, we would have a world today that is indeed totally lost. lost. Totally. No one would be redeemed. Not a single person on the planet from the past to the future would be saved. Every single person would go straight to hell. Every single one. But praise be to God. He's given us and anyone that we will share this wonderful good news with the opportunity to spend eternity with Him. Praise God that Jesus Himself did not walk away. He accomplished the Father's will in His life. Remember the time in Gethsemane where he was praying and he said, "Lord, if it be your will, take this from me. But not my will, yours be done." Yeah? It tells us that he was so full of anguish that he sweat drops of blood. We know the scientists tell us now that this can actually happen. Of course it can happen. We just read about it in God's Word. It did happen to Jesus. But they say that we can get to a level where we are so anxious that the blood vessels within our bodies burst and it leaks through us. Out comes the blood. He had every opportunity to just walk away and he said, "No. I have come that my Father's will would be accomplished." And he did. He did exactly what he said he would do. And he stood for him. Even through all the times when he was harassed. Remember when they put the crown of thorns on him and spat at him and pulled his beard out, pushed him and shoved him, mocked him, King of the Jews. How he was made to carry his cross. How many times he fell, I'm sure. The beatings that he got. And then finally to be nailed to that tree. Knowing that his life was gone. And yet we heard this morning about the love and compassion that he had for Lazarus. You know, he demonstrated that again even while on the cross. While he was dying. Remember, he turned to the man beside him and he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Right up to his dying breath, he was inviting people to come and to follow him. Wow. I like to leave questions with you, don't I? And here's a few. How firm are we standing with Jesus today? Now, only you can answer them. Right? How often do we come before our Lord and Savior in prayer? Is it only done on a Sunday? Is it only done when we have a meal and we give thanks? Or do we spend quality time with the Lord every day? Even in our busy lives, can we put aside just a few moments to spend in the very presence of God? You know, I've read of so many preachers in times gone by who said they were up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they would pray till 8 o'clock and they would have breakfast and back to prayer again until 12 o'clock. And the main purpose for their prayer was that they had a busy day that day. From 4 in the morning to 12, because their day was busy. I think, oh boy. How regularly do we attend church? Do we go every week? Do we go twice on a Sunday? Once during the week to the prayer meeting or the Bible study? How often, when we see that the person who normally sits, we're creatures of habits, aren't we? We always come in and sit roughly in the same seats, don't we? the same. Right? We're creatures of habit. But when was the last time you sat and said, I wonder where so and so is normally sits here? Did you think about them after the service, go home and lift the phone and say, by the way, how you doing? Missed you today. Is everything okay? You see, we put an awful emphasis, and John, brother, you'll know this more than anyone. You know that John has now come in to be a stand-in at the moment, right? Now, there's going to be a tremendous responsibility in this man. But it's not all his responsibility. Because John is pastor, and pastor, the same as minister, means servant. Would you agree, John? Yeah? But we're all pastors. We're all servants, every single one of us. So it shouldn't be up to one individual. We should all be looking out for each other, lifting the phone or going round and knocking in and saying, hello, are you doing all right? I haven't seen you for a wee while. People need to be encouraged. They need to encourage each other. We can do that, of course, by meeting each other in church, but you know, it's so nice to meet with brothers and sisters in Christ during the week. Invite them to your home. Give them a meal. Discuss the things of Christ. It's amazing how your life will change round about. It's incredible, honestly. The Word of God says that iron sharpens iron. We have some tremendous debates in our house, and have done for years. We've had people from Baptist, Church of Scotland, Brethren, Pentecostal, Independent, and we all come together and we talk. And it's incredible. Honestly, there hasn't been a fight yet. No. And why should there be? If we are actually speaking about the things of God, why should we be in any confrontation? No, of course not. But are we standing firm? When was the last time that we shared our faith with someone? Now, there are opportunities out there. Now, I'm not saying that you go to the local bus stop and you stand and you pin somebody against the wall and say, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Turn up, God. But there are times you just that wee bit of conversation and just get something in about the Lord. That's all it takes. And we might quake and quiver a wee bit, but see, once that conversation starts, it's amazing how the Lord takes over. And before you know it, you're thinking, wow, I'm just sharing the gospel here. I didn't know I could do that. When was the last time you became a midwife for Jesus? Is there such a thing? Of course there is. You bring a new babe into the world. A new Christian. A new creation in Jesus. Where you've led someone right to the very cross itself. And said, here you are. Here's Jesus. What are you going to do with it? You've led them right to the Savior. It's a tremendous feeling. Tremendous feeling. When was the last time we actually looked to Jesus and said, Lord, I'm so sorry, and meant it? Really meant it. I'm so sorry, Lord. You know, as Scots, and I'm proud to be a Scot, I really am, but you know, as a nation, we're rascals, because pride can be our biggest downfall. Not being proud of the Lord Jesus Christ, but just pride itself. You know, I look out here tonight and I can see right away that the women outnumber the men by quite a large majority. And I'm going to say something here, and I don't want you guys to get upset about this, but the women are much more spiritual than we are. before Christ and break in an instant. Men will come before Christ and stand in pride. Yeah? It's a wee man in Glasgow from Govan or Sunny Govan. Rob's seen us, but and he would say, I will tell you this, boy. I will bow the knee to no man. That is the attitude where a lot of men in this country today. I will bow the knee to no one, and that includes our God. Women are the exact opposite. Women can feel the move of the Holy Spirit well before men can. If we are married here today or tonight, there is a portion of scripture that tells us a nagging wife is like a dripping tap. Yeah? But you know something? Sometimes that dripping tap can be the warning signal that we can't see. The wives can see something in us and they'll say, by the way, did you know? And us guys, the first thing we do is we think, oh, here she goes. Here's the drip and tap again. But see, when you really think about it, guys, they're actually telling us that they're seeing something. Now, that can be physical, it can be spiritual, it can be a whole lot of ways. But we tend not to listen to our wives. We need to listen more to our wives. Especially in spiritual things. You don't believe me? Try it. Honestly. We need, as independent followers of Jesus Christ, and as a church, not only here in Stranraer, but nationwide, we need to learn how to stand. We need to learn how to stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus. And no matter what, stand firm. And the only way we can do that is by putting on the armour of God and looking after each other. I'm going to throw out a challenge to you tonight. And I hope you take it up. Joan and I have been coming for quite a number of months now, and we love coming down here. We really do. We love it. We love you guys. Strangers it is. No, you guys are easy to love.
Right.
But here's the challenge, though. Are you going to stand firm in Jesus? No matter what. Are you going to then take the good news from here to out there? Are you going to ask the Lord for holy boldness? Not to annoy people, but to share lovingly the good news of Jesus with them, to anybody who will listen to you. To anyone. Are you going to get behind John as he will become your interim leader at this time and say, John, by the way, if you ever need any help, give me a buzz? He's going to need help. Of course he is. Are you going to be there to support him, to look after him, to pray for him every day, not just on a Sunday, every day? Pray for your leadership. We need to do these things. We need to look after each other. I can't emphasize this enough, because it's going to get so tough out there that we're going to have to look after each other. I was joking with Tom earlier on, and I said, you know, the word of God with John and his, or Tom and his family, and I say, you know, the word of God tells us that we need to love each other. It doesn't actually say anything about liking, but we need to love each other. And if we can really show that love and stand firm, then I can see this place growing, not only in numbers, but in real depth, to the point where the people in the Jesus already prayed, you know, would there be revival? I'd love to see it. But revival starts with us. Revive our hearts, Lord. Make us live our lives for Christ and for Him alone. Remember what I said this morning, we are no longer ours, we're His. For Him to ask us to do His will. And we need to listen more. We need to stand firm. To love each other. Aye, even when we don't like each other, we're still going to love each other. And we can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us the love that is so amazing, so outstanding. Father, we thank you once again, Lord God, for your word to us this evening. Pray indeed, oh Father, build us up, Lord, please. You know, Father, when the church in Law Village was started, Father, you gave us a portion of scripture, and it said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, I pray this for the church here in Stranraer. Father, build them, Lord. Built them strong, Father. And I pray indeed, O Lord God, that yes, we'll be hearing soon, Lord, of the people in Stranraer who are saying, wow, what's happening? And Father, we never ever forget to give you the glory and the honor in all these things, because Lord, it's nothing to do with us. It's all about Jesus. And we just glorify and magnify your holy and wonderful name.